This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
I'm Madeline Brand. Few people have had to endure as public a humiliation as James Frye. He's the author of the critically acclaimed best-selling book, A Million Little Pieces. Best-selling because Oprah chose it for her book club. It's a memoir of his time in rehab. Major parts of it turned out to be false. James Frye was savaged in the media, branded a liar, the butt of jokes, banished from the publishing world. It all culminated in a sit-down on Oprah's couch.
It is difficult for me to talk to you because I really feel duped.
I've struggled with the idea of it and...
No, the lie of it. That's a lie. It's not an idea, James.
That was in 2006. Now, 2 years later, James Frye is back with another book. This one is a novel. It's called Bright, Shiny Morning, and it takes place in the land of fantasy, Los Angeles. James Frye joins me now in our Los Angeles studios. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Now, you write in rather cheekily at the beginning of this novel, nothing in this book should be considered accurate or reliable.
First line of the book.
But you do stuff this book full of what you call fun facts. So really, nothing's true?
Some of it's true. Some of it's not. You know, it has a pretty complete history of the city of Los Angeles in it. And most of it's true, but some of it's not. Some of it I just made up.
But we'll never know unless we go and fact check it.
I mean, one thing that was sort of funny is when I was telling the publisher how I did it, they sort of freaked out. But they made me write a report going through the entire book and sourcing every fact where I found it and then telling them which ones were true, which ones weren't, which ones had been sort of embellished or manipulated, which ones hadn't. So there's now this 38-page report.
Wow. So kind of like a term paper on your novel.
Yeah. In a way. I mean, it was the most heavily vetted novel maybe in history. I mean, it was a joke, the lengths to which the publisher went, probably justifiably so, to make sure the book was correct.
I want to go back to that Oprah moment. And, you know, you could, after all, at that time, just laid low. You could have just not done the interview, but you did. And you went before millions of people. Why did you do that?
Oprah had had me on the show once and had been extremely generous to me and wanted me to come back, so I went back.
Did you expect what you got?
I'm not going to go into what I may or may not have expected. It was a long, hard day. It was a very long hour.
Yeah. There is an article about you in this month's Vanity Fair magazine, and from what I gleaned in the article, you originally shopped this book, A Million Little Pieces, as a novel. It seemed in this Vanity Fair article that your agent, your editor, even the publisher, Nan Talese, all decided it would be better for it to be a memoir. Is that what happened?
I mean, there are a lot of legal issues and restrictions related to my relationship with Random House and my relationship with Nan Talese. One thing I can say is in literally the first interview I ever gave in February of 2003, 2.5 months before A Million Little Pieces was initially released, I flatly stated to the New York Observer, I shop this book as fiction. Nan Talese declined to publish it as such. You know, and frankly, at this point, I don't even think it matters. You know, I feel like I've acknowledged the mistakes I made and I've learned from them and I've moved on, you know. I've got a new book and I'm proud of it and I'm happy with it.
Well, let's talk about that new book. It's called A Bright, Shiny Morning, and it's set in Los Angeles. And tell me about the decision. Why did you decide to set this book in Los Angeles? And not just set it in Los Angeles, but make it really about Los Angeles.
I lived in L.A. for 8 years, and it's a city I love. You know, people outside of L.A. sort of think of L.A. as this place where there are a lot of movie stars and there are a lot of criminals, and they don't think much else about it. And so I wanted to try to write a book about this city that I loved. And, you know, it's a love letter that acknowledges the city has its faults and has things about it that aren't great, but it's still a love letter.
You know, obviously a big part of L.A. is its freeway system and its cars and its traffic. And you have a really great passage in there where you describe all the freeways and why they're called numbered freeways, the 10, the 101, the 405. Can you read a little bit?
Sure. Interstate 405, the San Diego Freeway, or the 405. Someone in the state of California's naming office was smoking weed when they named this road because it doesn't run within 40 miles of San Diego. It's almost as if they felt sorry for San Diego for not having any big famous roads on the scale of roads in L.A., so they decided to throw them a bone and give them a 405. Lucky for them, no one in L.A. gives a shit, and no one in L.A. even bothers with the misleading and entirely inaccurate given name. The big 16-lane north-south artery, infamous as the scene of the O.J. Simpson slow-speed car chase of June 17, 1994, is and always will be known as the 405. As a proud citizen of Mar Vista, which borders the route of the 405, once uttered, that silly San Diego bull. It's our road and we'll call it whatever the we want to call it.
Beep, 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 beep.
You told me to do it.
Well, tell me about the characters. You basically follow the lives of about four major characters.
There are sort of four primary narratives, and then there are hundreds of other characters. You know, the four primary narratives, I wanted to set them in different geographic locations of L.A., and I wanted them to sort of represent different archetypes of L.A. You know, there's a Mexican-American. You know, that Hispanic culture is obviously a massive thing in L.A. There is a homeless guy who lives on the beach. There is a movie star, and there's a young couple who comes to L.A. from a small town in the Midwest to sort of try to find their way and make their dreams come true. To tell the story of the city, you can't tell a single story. I just thought it was the most effective way to do what I wanted to do. You know, obviously some people think I did it very effectively, and the critic for the L.A. Times thought I did it disastrously, but it's all good.
Ooh!
Sorry.
It's okay.
That's embarrassing.
An L.A. moment.
Totally.
An L.A. moment here. Is that your agent?
No. No.
You talk a lot about, in this book, you talk a lot about finding dreams, about L.A. being the repository for a lot of people's dreams, of people coming here to find something. And I'm wondering if writing this book, and maybe this is a little cliched in and of itself, but writing this book was a way for you to sort of find yourself after what happened to you after A Million Little Pieces.
I don't think of the book as a redemptive act, really. I mean, this book had actually been sold before the sort of controversy erupted. The contract for it was canceled. I decided after everything that happened that I was just going to write the same book. I was going to try to do the same thing the same way I was going to do if nothing had happened. I think what happened influenced the book for sure. I mean, it changed me a lot.
How so?
I mean, it was a profoundly humbling experience. It did make me sort of value hope more, value the idea of dreams more. You know, I've had dreams come true. I've had dreams sort of explode. L.A. is a symbol of it around the world. You know, when people think of L.A., they think that's where you go. And that's whether your dream is sort of international superstardom or your dream is, you know, a green card and a job.
So how come you don't live in L.A.?
I lived here for 8 years, you know. I could live here very, very happily. My wife is a New Yorker, and after we got married, she said, I want to go home. And like any smart husband...
You did what you were told.
I did what I was told. You know, we've talked about moving back. We might not. Who knows?
All right. James Frey, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
This is James Frey, author of the new book, Bright Shiny Morning.
And you can hear James Frey read another passage from Bright Shiny Morning at npr.org/daytoday. More to come after this.